Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
There are so many other galaxies that are just like the Milky Way. So it just leads to an infinite amount of, not infinite, but like a huge, ginormous amount of the possibility of how many intelligent life forms and civilizations there are out there. And it's getting more and more probable that we're probably not the first to exist.
That would be the dinosaurs.
You think they're intelligent life?
No.
Okay. Maybe hush. Okay. Just like that. We have a thought. Just go shh.
What is the dinosaurs? Sorry.
No. Wrong. Yeah. Hello. Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up, everybody? It's Iceman.
And we have an episode today that I have prepared that was brought to you by my existential crisis.
Oh, finally.
I mean, I have a few every single day.
Yeah, which one's this one?
But if you haven't had a few existential crises a year, did you even really exist?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that solves it then. Mm-hmm. I guess it's over. Bye.
So. Bye.
Thanks for listening this week. No, I mean, I don't know why, but like, I feel like every time around this year or around this time of the year, I get this like mode, and it's not even depression. It's like not even a sad.
To be clear, it's around 9/11 right now.
Well, yeah, but yeah. And I used to think that it had to do with that, but yeah. I don't even know. I don't know if it's that. I don't know. Even my therapist was like, did something traumatic happen during this time of year? I'm like, maybe, I don't know. But every time around this year, or every year around this time, I just start to contemplate the meaning of life. And I don't know, sometimes it's sad and sometimes it's like inspiring, but that's what's been going on. And when you go through that, I feel like you turn to religion, you turn to science, you turn to psychology, and you're just kind of like looking for answers. You know, are we just a bunch of evolved amoebas?
Who turns to science for that? Science is there to tell you, like, yes, we are evolved amoebas.
Yeah, just like,
I like
waiting, you know, to disintegrate, yeah, back into,
dude,
dirt.
I mean, I'm not turning to science for that one, I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean,
as much as I love it,
sometimes like that could turn you to like stoicism. Like if nothing is, If it's just that.
If you can find a beauty in the meaningless.
Yeah, exactly. Then, yeah, then some people then can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lately, I've been also watching a lot of near-death experience videos. Have you heard about this whole community? So near-death experience people are people that technically died. Like they were pronounced officially dead at some point. And they had this whole experience. Some of them talk about it feeling like years because there's like no time over there. And then they eventually come back into their bodies and they have this whole experience. And what I found the most interesting about those videos is that everyone seemed to have like a lot of consistencies in their stories, even with completely different backgrounds, religions, no religions. There was one that I watched today from a neuroscientist who ended up writing a book after called Proof of Heaven. And he, you know, explained how he came from a very scientific background and having this experience turned him more spiritual and religious, but in more of a like broader purpose way. And I just think all that's really interesting, how so many people could have died and they're not hallucinations. They all experience the same feeling. Like it's more feeling based and more like just being completely surrounded by love and like light. And they talk to some, you know, being, guide, spirit, when they're dead, quote unquote dead. And they've been told like, kind of, some of them have been told exactly the purpose of their life, and some are like, hey, you're not really meant to know. It's like a little bit more vague, but you need to go back. And for the most part, it's like you chose to come to Earth to help the people, like your fellow human beings, and to basically raise collective consciousness to evolve to a level where there's more love and light in the world. And I have always kind of felt that feeling of like, hey, I think we're all supposed to like lift each other up, you know, in some way. And we do tend to fall into these like
down, you drag bitches on Twitter
down cycles. Yeah, I totally drag everybody bitches on Twitter. What?
I know.
My Twitter is just pure ridiculousness.
I agree.
I think Twitter is the angry, you know, honestly, I started tweeting more because Twitter is the angriest social media platform that I've ever seen. And I stayed off Twitter for years. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, it makes me like physically ill to scroll through Twitter because it's so angry and so like dark. And so I was like, what if, I mean, there's like funny Twitter too, but what if, what if I only tweeted like ridiculous things that make me laugh? I feel like that kind of raises the vibrational frequency of the Twitterverse.
Agreed.
And so I'm kind of like doing my part there as my life there on Twitter. But anyway, that's
as bad as all the markets have been and stuff. Like crypto Twitter is still nicer than regular Twitter.
Absolutely.
And it's like people being like, I lost everything, I'm so fucked. But it's like still way nicer than regular Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on all kinds of parts of Twitter, mostly poker Twitter lately, but like everyone gets just too deep into politics and bashing and them versus us shit. And I just think it's
problem with all them is they all think this.
Yeah, it's all just silly in the grand scheme of things, especially. And I think that it contributes to my existential crisis because I'm like, this can't be what we're here for. Like, we can't be here to just fight about stupid shit like this. This is so dumb. But anyway, so I watched a bunch of that, and I've talked before on the show how I listen to like Abraham Hicks and Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer and Neville Goddard, and they all kind of have similar messages of, you know, and a lot of it has to do with getting to know who you are on a deeper level too, which is why I'm really interested in psychology and Carl Jung. I don't know if it's Jung or Jung. Sorry,
it's Jung.
Okay. I think it's, some people say Jung.
I don't know, but I'm
and Joseph Campbell. Anyway, they talk more about like confronting your shadow self and like becoming like a whole person and being one with the most authentic version of yourself. And it all connects. And I'm very interested in this like intersection between science, religion, and the paranormal experiences that people have. And I was going to do an episode on simulation theory.
Just Kitty's head's popping on everywhere.
Life is silly.
When we first started the show, Yellow Kitty came out too.
It's so dumb. Like that. This is what I'm talking about. It's like, it's, I think, what's meant to be silly.
I agree.
So I was going to do an episode on simulation theory, and I might still do that, but I probably should have done it before this one because I stumbled across a rabbit hole of videos about the Kardashev scale. Have you ever heard?
No.
of the Carter? You have not.
Never.
Okay, well, wonderful. This will be a nice topic of discussion then. So the Kardashev scale was invented. Well, okay, go ahead.
It's when to shove a certain hand.
Yes. Yes. When you have pocket jacks and you
yeah.
have under 100 big blinds. Earlier.
Cool.
Yeah. Great. So you got it. Kardashev.
Sounds like that.
Kardashev, asshole.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy's last name.
Word.
Kardashev?
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought that's what it was.
Okay. That's the universe being silly again.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, the Kardashev scale was invented by, or not invented, but I guess discovered or theorized as a theory by Nikolai Kardashev, who's, I believe, an astronomer. Oops, probably should have got
Oops.
Like written down more of his no resume. Digs. But anyway, he, we've discovered in science that there may possibly be over 40 billion planets in our Milky Way galaxy alone that can sustain life like ours, like civilizations, intelligent life.
When we were kids, they thought there
like
was
ours.
None, which
exactly.
is wild.
So yeah, even like 10, 20 years ago, it's like, are there aliens? And now it's more like, how many aliens
exactly.
are there? You know?
Yeah.
And even in the scientific community, like as we just make more and more discoveries, it's like more and more realistic that there's many civilizations
they
on other planets.
They just found microbial life on Mars.
Just where are they, you know?
Organic matter found on Mars.
Yeah. And then on top of that, there are so many other galaxies that are just like the Milky Way. So it just leads to an infinite amount of, not infinite, but like a huge, ginormous amount of the possibility of how many intelligent life forms and civilizations there are out there. And it's getting more and more probable that we're probably not the first to exist. And so Nikolai Kardashev.
That would be the dinosaurs.
You think they're intelligent life?
No.
Okay. Maybe hush.
Okay.
Just like that. We have a thought. Just go. Shh.
What is the dinosaurs? Sorry.
No. Wrong. Yeah. Also that. Oh, it was a form of a question.
Thank you.
Okay. Nikolai Kardashev had this thought too, and he theorized that there could be civilizations in the universe that are billions or even tens of billions of years old. And he came up with a scale that categorized civilizations by level of technological advancement. And this was like a scale based on how much energy they were able to produce. And he was able to quantify how much energy was consumed by a civilization and use that to classify other levels of civilizations. He only defined three types, so levels 1 through 3. But after him, there were more subsequent astronomers.
Subsequent.
Subsequent.
Thank you.
You can pronounce it either way.
I like it that way.
Well, then subsequent it is. it's been expanded upon by more further researchers. Okay. You ready to get into the
Let's
types
go.
Of civilizations?
Yes.
Okay. First off, there's type 0, which I don't know why when I was watching all these videos,
That's
they're like
Twitter.
Type 1 through 3.
Type
but
0
like,
is Twitter.
There's type 0. And do you want to guess where our civilization is?
I got to say 0.
Pretty close.
We haven't done shit.
Pretty fucking close.
We went to the moon, dude. That's it.
We're currently at a 0.72.
On the galactic scale, we've done jack fuck all nothing. We're losers.
When he invented or theorized, created this civilization scale, we were at a 0.52. Now we're at a 0.72.
So we kind of
advanced
kind of
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But a type 0 civilization is a baby civilization, like the babiest baby that there is. Basically, this civilization just uses natural resources on their local planet. They use trees. They use, you know, dirt. They use dead animals and stuff. A more advanced type 0 civilization might use natural gas or oil, but they have not developed propulsor technology, or they do have it, but it's used by generating, they generate it by burning chemicals.
Yeah.
So it like pollutes our whole fucking earth. And they based this scale off of like how the amount of energy produced per second, and a type 0 civilization would produce 10 to the 16th power watts per second. That is the max of their of their energy that they can produce. And according to a calculation from Carl Sagan, have you heard of that
man? Of course.
Okay.
Very famous astronomer.
In 2018, we were at a 0.72. So we might have advanced a little bit since then, but it'll take about 100 to 200 years for us to get to a level one civilization.
Wow.
Because we're stupid.
Unless there's some kind of leap in technology
that
we don't know about.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we can be gifted some technology by another civilization. But I think that this is all has to do with our collective consciousness evolution. I don't even think we can advance. I mean, this isn't part of the videos that I watch, but it kind of connects all around. I don't even think we can advance until we can get our shit together as a civilization and like work together as people, which would come from like raising the collective consciousness on a more spiritual and emotional level, which I think is, we'll get to that. But anyway, we're definitely not close yet. I mean, close relatively, but like 100 or 200 years away from getting to a type one civilization. Okay, let's talk about a type one civilization though. Type one civilization is called a planetary civilization. So a planetary civilization does not depend on just their natural resources and energy, but nuclear energy is their primary source of energy. And now currently we do have nuclear power here on Earth.
We don't use it that much.
Create it, but we also just generate it the wrong way. So we create nuclear power through nuclear fission, which is, it just has a low energy conversion ratio, and it generates radioactive waste, and it has like a likelihood of toxic spills. So it's not really like ideal as far as utilizing nuclear power. If we could instead learn how to utilize nuclear fusion, we could have a clean, safe nuclear energy, and we'd be able to have a technology that's fueled by nuclear energy, and we could start sending manned spacecrafts to any planet in the solar system, which is really cool.
Lit.
We would advance science and technology to a level where it could completely cure cancer and other currently incurable diseases that are caused by viruses or bacterial infections. Those could be eliminated. And we could have the ability to regenerate any organ, which would drastically increase our lifespan. If you could just regenerate any organ when it's dying.
They're working on that right now.
Yeah, they should be, because, I mean, we should be reaching for a type one civilization. We'd also be able to live in not just the land, but we could also live in the clouds and in the sea, which would allow us a lot of space, more room to grow and populate our planet. It takes about 3,000 years to get from an early type one civilization to a more advanced type one civilization. Mm. So all of the more advanced stuff, yeah, comes in thousands of years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you'll get to a type two civilization. Let's talk about a type two civilization, huh? That's called a stellar civilization. And a stellar civilization, their main energy source is no longer nuclear power, but instead nearby stars.
Yeah, using Dyson spheres.
Yeah.
So sick.
I remember when I brought up a Dyson sphere. So I did. And then you were like, what do you know about Dyson spheres? I'm like, I've been watching some videos.
I don't remember that. I remember bringing up Dyson spheres.
Okay, what do you know about Dyson spheres? Go for it.
Bro, you can surround the sun with this technology and harness the power of the sun and use it for whatever means you need.
What does it look like?
It looks like the sun is covered in like this formation of a shape that it looks like the sun.
Yeah, so Freeman Dyson.
It's like the Epcot Center, but you like zoom it out of the sun a little bit, and it's like we're using panels to pull all this energy out of the sun.
Yeah, kind of. There's like different versions of it. So yeah. The original version from Freeman Dyson, who was a contemporary of Albert Einstein, and he was in that era of science. He theorized about this Dyson sphere in which you could pull energy from stars, and yeah, you would have to construct a big structure around a star. And the original model is like kind of like it looks like an atom almost, like with the rings going all different directions. But it wouldn't be very. So other people after him were like, it's not a very
efficient,
likely structure to happen, because the amount of the amount you would have to build to get all the way around, like to build that much structure around a star is just not ideal. So they have come up with like other Dyson structures, like Dyson rings and different, basically the same concept, but like a more efficient way to draw energy from the sun. But just the fact that they've spent like lots of time developing like stuff that we're probably not going to do for thousands and thousands of years, but they've thought about it, is really interesting to me that like they're taking that seriously.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's not these like civilization types aren't just like some guy named Kardashev was like, hey, what if this was like what aliens are? And then people were like, okay, cool, bro. No, they're like actually like digging into how these civilizations could harness that type of energy.
Well, it makes sense because we can look around us, so we can see like, you know, in our nearby solar system,
yeah,
what we could be using,
yeah,
which is super cool.
Yeah, and so obviously we would probably start with our sun. And
dude, we basically moved rocks from the moon to the Earth. That's how embarrassing it is.
What's more embarrassing is like all of these old like Egyptian hieroglyphics and stories, and all, not just Egyptian, but like Greek and all these different ancient civilizations have stories of like basically higher civilizations gifting us those things like tools and fire and like all the shit that we're like, we invented that.
Yeah, we probably killed each other with it, actually.
Yeah. They were like, these humans are really slow. I think we're just going to have to help them out. It's Jeff Probst, like, gave us flint.
Yeah,
he was like, I don't think you're gonna be able to make it without the flint.
You don't think that some of that stuff too though is just like how we have like, you know, the Star Wars series and Star Trek and all that stuff, and it's like imaginary stuff that helps us look forward to the next steps. And like maybe back then in ancient Egypt, like they kind of were doing that same shit, just imagining all this sick shit.
They could have been, yeah, right? I think about that too. Like, like how many of our movies will get misinterpreted as like what we believed in? Oh yeah,
people
in.
Just found it. It's like, whoa, what the fuck was humans up to over there?
Yeah, I think about that sometimes too. Like, what if our historians just misinterpreted like so much shit?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like, that's why I like to get a vast.
It's fascinating.
To read a vast amount of different theories and stories and,
it's fun to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just get like juices flowing. Figuring out like what happened, because no one really knows unless you were there back then, which you might have been in a different life if you believe in reincarnation. Moving on, so where was I? I was on type two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Dyson sphere, which is a shell built around a star, and then there's other designs that have been proposed, like Dyson rings. And basically, once a civilization reaches type two, we would no longer suffer from any energy related problems on Earth.
Oh,
ever
that'd be
again.
Sick. All kinds of problems right now with that.
Yeah, and it would completely cure poverty. There would be no more class structure or anything like that. And we'd be able to freely travel to any planet in the entire solar system.
Where would you go?
Whenever we want.
What was your first planet you got to?
I don't know. I guess I don't really want to go anywhere.
I go to Pluto first.
Really?
Yeah, and then I'd be like, suck it, everybody.
So cold.
Pluto is the first planet we went to, bitches. All you Pluto-hating bitches.
What do you mean?
Oh, remember when they said Pluto's not even a planet anymore?
Yeah,
now they're saying Pluto's maybe a planet.
Well, yeah, it keeps getting in and out of the club.
But I would go there first, is what I'm saying. I'd skip
Pluto might even have moons.
It does have moons, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how does it not a planet? Fuck you.
Exactly, fuck you.
I know, I'm a diehard Pluto fan.
Big time diehard.
I will say that, like, it's the farthest from the sun. It's also...
Yeah.
That's why it's related to the god Hades, which is the god of the underworld. It's, like, very cold. I get cold here on Earth.
Yeah,
like, I need
true.
A lot of blankets and sweatshirts. Like, we're in the middle of a desert, and I wear sweatshirts every day.
You could pack blankets for space. They already do that. It's called space blankets.
Yeah, I know, but regular blankets aren't even good enough for, like, this temperature.
Space blankets are different. It's for space.
I need a space blanket on this planet.
That's true.
I don't know. I just think I'd be way too cold on Pluto.
I think I couldn't watch Survivor with you if you had a space blanket, because you'd be crinkling all over the fucking place.
Also, I don't like the idea that, like, they wouldn't have... luxuries that we've developed on this planet, like where
you can't get Postmates.
Like, well, you remember when we tried going to like a remote area of different countries that travel vloggers were like, you gotta go here, and I was like, ah man,
I
don't speak the language, I don't have the currency, I just want a Starbucks, you know.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. It was cool to like see, but then I was like, okay, but
We're not the couple that's like, we're intrepid explorers.
Yeah, so why do you want to go to Pluto?
Stick it to all the people who said it wasn't a planet.
Personally, I just want to explore inner Earth, but, you know, it's cool. So cool. You'd go to Pluto. I'd stay here on Earth. I'm kind of a homebody anyway.
That's true.
Anyway, so after we get to this level, we would probably begin to colonize other planets. This would be like the first part of our space colonization where we could actually start to build civilizations on other planets. And in the life science area, regenerative medicine technology would get to a genetic level where we could actually regenerate any part of your body. And this level of civilization, this type 2 level, is estimated to take about 100,000 to 1 million years.
Wow.
Yeah. So not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Put your Pluto dreams back in your pocket.
Yeah, I believe that, though. It takes so much resources just to go to the moon, to go out of Earth orbit.
Well, we needed to harness freaking stars with Dyson spheres in order to do this type of inner.
We also have to get rid of our material obsessions and, like, you know, how many people want to just be famous and not, they don't want to do anything.
That's what I'm talking about, is that I think that in this era of time, if there is a soul purpose, it's like raising the collective consciousness to a level where you can just see that your life is not meaningless. What you've been focusing on is kind of meaningless.
Oh, yeah.
Like this, like, obsession with like superficial materialistic garbage is like what is keeping us at this lower level of consciousness. It's like, that's why existential crises are so much cooler than midlife crises, because midlife crises, you're like, I got gray hairs and wrinkles, I should buy a car. And at an existential crisis, you're like, do I even need to exist? Why do I need a car?
I saw a picture of a bunch of people lined up because, you know, there's like an economic turmoil right now. And I saw a picture of like people lined up outside of a Gucci store or whatever, like it was Black Friday. And it just made me think about that a little bit, about how like, much that doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
And like how having a Gucci bag, like right now, even if it gives you a little bit of joy or whatever, like the idea of that in like 1,000 years from now, like how nobody gives a shit is wild.
Yeah.
If you zoom out enough, you can just fuck with your head so much that it's like, okay, let's just get back to Earth.
Yeah, God, I'm so much more interested in like this stuff. Like, how do we get to like raising, what if we could just consciously move from our bodies to, you know, other planets without physical transportation? I just think all that shit's so much more fascinating.
Like, maybe that is like, because it is so resource intensive, maybe that is how we move around. Like,
well, we'll talk about that after this break.
Oh shit.
Yeah, buy whatever we tell you to buy.
Thank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen, That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about a type 3 civilization. Are you freaking ready?
I'm so ready.
So if you remember when I first started talking about the Kardashev scale, this was the last civilization that he'd discovered or talked about, which was type 3. He did not believe you could move beyond a type 3 civilization.
He was a hater.
But yeah, the subsequent researchers said it could go up to type 7, which we'll talk about too. But type 3 is very advanced. It'd be called a galactic civilization. And a galactic civilization would get energy in a way that's similar to type 2 through the stars, where they would harness energy through the stars with Dyson spheres or, you know, some other form of technology. But they would get it from many stars, near and far, all throughout the galaxy. So they would utilize intergalactic travel
just
to
poning solar systems.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We would see the first use of anti-gravity devices, but not just anti-gravity vehicles, but on an astronomical level where there's anti-gravity planets. And there's been giant, huge UFOs seen at the surface of our sun harnessing energy from it. And we think that they might be an advanced civilization that's learned how to utilize anti-gravity.
Nikki.
Planets to
you're scaring the straights.
Okay, I'll dial it back a bit.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's fucking interesting. It's on video. Okay. Anyway, so they use
it's on video. So there you have it.
This galactic civilization. Yeah, you could see fucking huge ass planet sized structures harnessing energy from our sun and then flying away.
Unless I see the feed get cut by NASA. Uh-huh. That's how I know it's real.
Okay.
See.
Okay. Got it.
You
got
to see something coming on screen, and then the feed gets cut.
Mm.
That's all I know it's real.
I don't know if it was NASA or if it was a guy with a telescope and a video camera, but anyway.
Oh, shit.
This civilization, the galactic civilization, obviously, if they're going to go traveling around the galaxy getting energy from stars, they use wormholes to warp throughout the galaxy, but they can't create their own wormholes. They rely on existing wormholes.
How do we know this?
This is all science people that came up with it.
Oh, okay.
These are astronomers.
My bad.
And like Carl Sagan, like big names.
Don't be an idiot. They can't make their own
big
wormholes.
Big fucking names.
That's a class 17 civilization.
Yeah, there are a group of nerds that fucking research this shit all day. And they're well, actually wouldn't
but
be possible
theorizing.
Because they are.
Yeah.
But the wormholes do exist.
Yeah, they do.
And if we were to get advanced enough to use them, they're like, well, we would need X amount of energy to be able to even use it. Well, how would we get that? And it goes reverse engineered, you know?
Right.
So that's how these civilizations came to be on this scale, because it's like, well, if a civilization got to a point where they could utilize the power of stars throughout the galaxy,
so
they'd have enough energy to use wormholes to get through the galaxy.
Can you imagine in a movie a fucking giant spaceship being like, where do we go, Captain? How do we get there? Some shit. They fucking turn to a sun. They point at the shit at the sun and they blow it up and it collapses into itself and becomes a fucking wormhole. Because that's eventually what happens after a long period
of
time. And it collapses into itself and becomes a white sun, white dwarf or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then
that becomes a wormhole?
Could maybe. It becomes a black hole. And then
maybe.
You go through the black hole.
I don't know.
Be kind of sick.
We're just two non-science people trying to talk shop.
Look, I realize too that I'm wearing a Colts jersey right now and I'm part of the problem. It's I can't fucking wait for football tomorrow and I'm not exactly working on galactic science, okay?
Right. I just thinking about it.
I love thinking about it.
I like thinking of concepts that people that are much more researched than me, I'm not going to say smarter, because I just think that if you use your intelligence towards one focused
I'm going to say smarter.
Sure. A lot of them might be smarter. I'm willing to admit that some of them might be smarter.
I'll say smarter.
Some of them.
For both of us.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I like hearing all of their concepts because they're much more, they spent their lives researching this and
it's cool shit.
Proving it with different theories and getting peer reviewed and having their theories debunked and all this shit. And then they all agreed on some, you know, get all of them, to get a bunch of scientists to agree on some is whoa, okay, this might be actually legit. So anyway, they use wormholes to warp through the galaxy, but they can't create their own. It actually takes an enormous amount of energy to our galaxy, it's hard to support artificial wormholes, but we'll get there. Anyway, type 3 civilizations have maximized the lifespan for the species. So their next goal, the next goal of a type 3 civilization would be to extract consciousness out of their physical bodies and achieve immortality. Kardashev...
Dude, it takes them that long to achieve immortality?
What do you mean it takes them that long?
Well, I mean...
How long would it take you?
You got a Dyson sphere that can fucking suck all the energy out of the sun, but you can't figure out immortality yet? For carbon-based life forms?
I mean, there's two different types of sciences going on.
Just get out that shit.
One is technological advancement, and one is life regenerative science.
What about the one where you like grow a human body and you just shove your brain into the other body?
Well, yeah, that's where they would probably...
You think that it takes them that long?
What, how, millions of years?
Yeah.
To get to that level of civilization, yeah.
Damn, all
right. We're on fucking Twitter land right now.
Yeah, that's true.
We're like so nothing level. We're that's like basically true. Dirt. We suck.
I know, we suck.
I'm such a hater. I'm like, God, why do... Anyway.
Dude, we still have ants in our houses, you know? We can't figure anything out.
No.
We're
well,
like,
we are
oh, God damn it.
We are the ants in the galactic house.
But think about how many hours of productivity gets fucked with because of ants in your house.
Yeah.
You're never going to get to the fucking, to Mars.
Well, scientists have probably found a way to get rid of the ants in their research labs.
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
I heard Elon Musk has an ant
Maybe
problem.
Maybe the ants are in control of everything.
I heard SpaceX has a huge ant problem.
Damn. They should get rid of the sugar.
Exactly.
Okay, well, anyway, like I said, Kardashev thinks that this is the peak of civilizations. Like, you can't extract consciousness and become, like... and go to another level of civilization. But so many other people were like, actually.
Point on Twitter.
Actually, you can, Kardashev. There's a type 4 civilization, and they're called a universal civilization. They can create their own wormholes. Boom. Mic drop.
How bored are they now? Can I just ask you this?
Exactly.
How fucking bored
are
they?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So.
Because once I unlock God mode in any video game, I'm done with it in like 15 minutes.
So, okay. I'm going to get there. Okay. I'm going to get there because I thought about that too. Like, after this video, I was like, this is so interesting. But okay, listen. Okay. We're only on type 4. We get to 7 types, okay? Type 4 creates their own wormholes. There's not enough energy in the galaxy to support artificial wormholes, like I said before. So their main energy source would be from supernovas. Supernovas occur once every 40 years in a single galaxy. So type 4 civilizations have to travel intergalactically to extract energy from various supernovas of other galaxies. They're just coasting to other galaxies having to extract energy. That's how crazy this civilization is. They have achieved immortality by being able to extract consciousness from physical form. It also is possible at this level to create intelligent life. They can create intelligent life. So many type 0 civilizations may have been created by type 4 civilizations, which to me, when I heard about this, it connects everything. Like, this is where I'm talking about the intersectionality of like, this, like a lot of ancient myths talked about gods that actually seem like type 4 civilizations. And like, if you believe in the simulation theory, which is that like an advanced civilization created this simulation,
100%.
And we're not in based reality, and like, who knows how many levels down we are, because we create games like The Sims, and after a certain point, we just start creating simulated realities, and those people or beings in those realities don't know that they're in a simulation.
The Matrix.
So, you know, maybe type 0 civilizations were created by type 4 civilizations, and that connects aliens, ancient myths, religions, and simulation theory. The type 4 civilizations, though, are not omnipotent or omnipresent.
They're not gods.
They might have been described as gods because they created life, but they're not God, like the all.
To me, if you created life, you're God.
I mean, you're a creator.
You're God.
And God created us in his image, which would make us creators, you know? But they have advanced to the point of realizing that there are actually multiverses, and that is no longer a theory to them, but they have realized it as a truth. And they're like, holy shit, there's other universes.
Yeah, we found out about multiverses. Human beings have.
Well, they're a theory, and we make art about it.
Yes.
But they've
use experiments to confirm the existence of multiverses.
Well, at this point, type 4 is like, we can get there.
Right.
And that's what they're working towards. So then, once they get to a type 5 civilization, which is called a multiversal civilization, they look to white holes for energy. So white holes are still a theory for us. They're not proven. They're the opposite of black holes. Like, they're the polar opposite of black holes. And so whereas a black hole sucks everything. Yeah. White holes shove everything out at an enormous amount of energy. Yeah. They just shove it the fuck out. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. So, but.
You might even call them buttholes.
But no, you wouldn't.
Why not? Well, think about it. Think about what they do.
Things can go into buttholes. They can't go into white holes.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here.
You're welcome. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know if scientists are smarter than me.
Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected on that.
Pretty
point.
Intelligent.
I stand corrected.
So these white holes only exist in theory right now, but a type 5 civilization would need that amount of energy that's theorized to be in white holes in order to get to another universe. So they would be gathering energy from white holes in one universe to travel to other universes. And once they get to other universes, they would soon realize that although they have mastered the three-dimensional world,
they haven't done shit.
There's life that exists in other dimensions.
They haven't done shit yet.
And they're like,
fuck. We thought we did so good.
Yeah, we created other civilizations.
Oh,
like,
come on.
See, you thought you were God mode, but you're not.
Wow.
Because there's other fucking dimensions. And your 3D body would be exploded if you tried to freaking go to some
when
of these.
You just get bored because this is like a psychedelic experience.
So, type 6. Multi-dimensional civilizations.
Okay.
Their 3D bodies wouldn't be able to make it, but type 6 has released consciousness from physical bodies. They no longer need to transport consciousness to other bodies. They're like, fuck the bodies. We're just going to be consciousness. Okay. So they extract consciousness from their physical bodies and they travel backwards and forwards through time, and they can overcome cause and effect. They can also be omnipotent and omnipresent.
Finally.
However, they soon realize that if type 4 civilizations could create type 0 civilizations and we're above type 4, then who the fuck created us?
That's what I've been saying the whole time.
And that's when they realize that there's a 7th civilization, the creator civilization. And the type 6 civilization realizes that they actually can never get to the type 7 civilization no matter how hard they try. They will never be able to advance to a type 7 civilization because a type 7 is just existence itself.
Why don't they just blow it up?
They can't.
Oh.
It's existence
itself.
Because
if it doesn't exist, then they're the top of the kingdom.
They can't
do it.
That's
what America does.
They can't do it.
Okay.
It literally is existence. So it's the creator of everything. Dimension, space, time, energy, natural law. It created everything. And that really connects religion and science and everything because it's like, well, at the end of all of the science, it's still God.
Right.
It's still like the one.
It's the layer one.
It's the layer one that created the other. And then you create, and then you create, and then you create. And in the Bible, you know, it talks about how we are made in his image, you know, so which is really like we are creators. We can create. And that's what human beings do is we create and we build. And there's other layers to us. But like, you know.
By the way, we meant to tell you guys to get high before this episode.
Oh, yeah, get fucking. I hope you're like,
we should have said that
earlier.
Can
you put a disclaimer in the very beginning?
Let them know to get really high for this episode, please.
Have an edible.
Mark, can you hit the get really high button?
Drug of choice, actually. LSD, acid. Just make sure you stay safe.
Here, wait. Mark's hitting the.
Don't drive.
Mark's hitting the get really high button. Get high.
I hate that button.
It's a good button.
If I was high, I'd be so annoyed with it.
It's too corporate.
It would ruin my.
It's very corporate.
It'd ruin my buzz. That's to true. Be honest. Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, "What corporate fuck created this?"
That's true.
Button. But anyway, yeah, it did get me thinking of like, wow. Once you get to that level, even like some of the lower, like not lower, but like the type 4, like you don't even need to get to 7 to be like. This is boring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, like, because it's cool as fuck. You can do everything, but it's boring. And that
so
made
boring.
Me think about all these near-death experience videos where we chose to come to Earth, even though it's the hardest. It's been called like the hardest planet for your soul to go to or whatever. But
tough game.
But to have the challenges and to feel a spectrum of emotions. And we chose to forget. knowledge, because it's not fun anymore. Because if you know everything and you could do everything, it's not fucking fun anymore, because you don't get to figure out the puzzle. It's like when you see a movie you really love and you're like, God, I wish I could watch this movie again and again, and without remembering the movie, because you're like,
that's true,
because it's not the same experience
is the best.
Yeah. Or when you figure something out, it's like the best feeling is figuring something out. In fact, a lot of psychological studies, I think we've mentioned this on other videos and episodes, that happiness is not actually derived from not having any problems. It's derived from solving your problems.
Yeah.
So you don't actually want no problems. Engage you just conflict. Want better problems.
We talked about that with Marc Maron.
Yeah.
We need conflict.
Not Marc Maron.
With Marc Maron from the Marc Maron podcast.
No, Marc Manson.
We talked about that with Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
Which was really enlightening.
And not as weird as people thought.
No, he was super cool.
He was super cool, actually.
And he said, yeah, he can't suck his own dick, which I thought that was interesting.
He did remove a rib.
Yeah. For a reason.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
But so did Adam when Eve was created.
To suck his own dick.
Exactly.
Because he knew that bitch wouldn't do it.
But anyway, so... It's interesting because a lot of these near-death experiences, they're like, oh, your soul chose to come to the hardest place to, one, experience a whole human experience, which is different than when your consciousness is like joining source again.
Yeah.
And also to help other humans raise a collective consciousness so that your civilization can advance. And it all kind of relates to each other. And it's like you're in a giant escape room and you have to solve all the puzzle together, but you have the words together in order to solve the puzzle.
So basically, going to planet Earth is the most difficult game. It's like playing Elden Ring.
Yeah. I have never played Elden Ring.
Well, Elden Ring just came out like last year or this year. And it's like...
Oh, I was thinking Elder Scrolls.
Oh, okay. So no.
It's a different game?
Elden Ring's a new game.
Okay.
Even Elon Musk talked about, he played Elden Ring, it's fucking hard.
Okay.
It's a hard game.
What's it about?
I don't know, you're like a fucking medieval warrior or some shit. Never played it.
But
I don't play hard games.
Why is this Elden Ring then?
Life's hard enough, I don't need to play hard games.
I guess.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But I love hard
games. Some people love hard games, exactly.
I love them.
So maybe that's what happens when we're up there as the collective consciousness. We're like, we need a fucking hard game.
Yeah, I think it's stimulating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you choose to forget everything so that it's a fun game again.
Right.
You know?
Because, dude, so many people like...
You know, the people that can solve the Rubik's Cube in 19 seconds, Rubik's Cube is boring.
Exactly.
It sucks.
Or like even, you know, our friends who play poker. Like I was talking to my buddy who's like a poker champion and all this shit. And
yeah.
He's our friend. And I was like, dude, when are you like...
Bored.
When are you like, I've done enough. I've had enough.
Mm.
And for him, he's just like, yeah, it doesn't really enter my mind because it's still so much fun.
Yeah. Well, and also...
it's still hard.
That's what I like about poker, or at least No Limit Poker, is it hasn't been solved yet. You can never master it.
Yeah.
And you really can't master it because you're dealing with human psychology as well. Like, and you're always going to be playing way different people.
Right.
Like, it's just an infinite, you're never going to master it.
Yeah.
You can only make the best decisions possible. And it's such a life analogy for me. I think that's why I get really stimulated. It's very, very analogous to life, where you're never going to solve life either. You're just going to find the best way to solve problems that you encounter and situations. You're never going to get the same situation twice either, like exactly the same situation.
Maybe that's what Tom Brady does.
But you have types of situations that are similar,
right?
And you can try and solve for the most profitable moves in those situations, but it's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do choose the most profitable thing, like when people are trying to choose the safe route in life, they still can fail, mm-hmm. you know, because it's never guaranteed. And I think that's so fascinating.
Me
is
too.
That the whole point of it is not to get discouraged when you make the right move and it doesn't work out, but to keep making the right move because eventually it does work out.
Yes.
And once you've discovered what the right moves are, like, you just keep making the right moves and it pans out. And I think that's so interesting, because that's all you can do in life is do as much research as you can on what like the right moves for you are and the calculated risks that you take. You can't not take any risks, so you have to take some risks, and like being able to choose like, okay, what are the most profitable risks that are going to move me up the best, and you just keep making those decisions over and over again in life. And that's what you do in the game of poker. And I think it's just so, maybe like life is a game that we choose to come back to because it hasn't been solved yet.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Tom Brady's playing football at age of 45.
So if you're a type 4 civilization, you're like, okay, I got my fucking consciousness. I can remove it, put it in anything. What if I went back to the beginning and I didn't know?
Right.
Could I build the life over again? Like sometimes we do that in this
But life. Do you think when we first started, like when there's no civilization yet, they get here and they're like, oh no, this sucks.
I don't think they remember.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of like not remembering. That's true. Like, would I be able to figure it out if I started back at square one again?
Right.
Sometimes it's fun, not fun, but like we do that in life when we change directions, you know, when we completely start a new path. Like we don't know what's going to happen at all. Could we succeed in a whole different area of life if we really wanted to, if we were really driven and we're really excited about it and stimulated by the challenge of it? Could you start from the beginning of something and find success in it all over again if you were already successful in a different part of your life?
Right.
You know, and people do that all the time. People that are really successful start completely different careers.
They do startups or
like later in life, you know, and I think it's really stimulating to, I mean, I have 1,000 different hobbies and that's because I just really love learning. If I'm stimulated by it and if it's exciting for me, then I can stay focused on like trying to get better at that thing for many, many hours and years and days and weeks and months. And it's like fun to see how far you can go from square one as a student.
So that's what we think is maybe going on with all these civilizations.
Maybe. I don't know. After watching all of these videos, rabbit hole of all this information, and in addition to all like the spiritual videos and the paranormal videos and like all this stuff, I'm like, you know, you kind of come up with your own kind of ideas, and they're not concrete. They're just swimming in your head. Like, what if it was this? And I can only relate it to my like short little human life that I've had so far. And I'm like, that would make sense, you know?
Do you think that we kind of hoard knowledge on Earth too? Like, we're like, you know, we always talk about how, you know, we don't really share secrets across civilizations, even like with other countries. Like, so we're not really raising the collective consciousness if we're segmenting all of that and keeping it to ourselves.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how to have this. This is a whole separate conversation, but there are ruling powers in the world that I think hoard knowledge. You know, if you listen, you've heard of occulted knowledge, people think of the occult as like, oh, it's like dark and demonic or whatever, but it's really not. Occult just means it's hidden knowledge, and there's a lot of hidden knowledge that
can't go to the Vatican Library.
Our civilization's known for a long, 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 long time. Yeah, exactly. But only like a certain segmented group of people are allowed to access this information. And that's why you get like conspiracy theorists who talk about the Illuminati and like all the symbols everywhere, because it's part of occulted knowledge that the people that run our Earth, like, they know things and they kind of know how to control the masses by not letting the masses know how to create what they know how to create.
Remember when we were in an Uber ride with a Freemason?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, wow, the Freemasons ain't doing that good though.
What are different levels? Like, it's not run by the fucking base of the pyramid.
I think he was a local leader though. Just remember that.
Maybe just get excited about football. I think that's for you.
You know what I think that's for you. Is one of the great things about all this shit? Our cat is bullying our other cat right now, and it's hilarious because when he was a kitten, it was the other way around, and now he's much bigger, so it's actually justice every time, and I sort of enjoy it. You got that? Is it on camera?
No,
even?
It's not. I wish it was.
Sorry. Okay. I sort of take this weird solace in the absolute fucking fact, like almost no doubt in my mind, that we won't have to worry about being a type 2, type 3, type 4, type 5, because we will blow ourselves the fuck up before then.
Absolutely. Well, that's why, we did the Hollow Earth Theory video, and the Inner Earth civilization was like pretty worried that
we're blow it up.
Yeah, because it's like we're the bad upstairs neighbors that are just like dropping bowling balls.
Yep.
On their fucking roof.
And, like our old upstairs neighbor.
And it affects all the other planet. If there's a ripple effect, you know, it affects everything in the universe, because like if our planet gets blown up, then it's, you know, it then affects like the sun, and then there's different energies and radiation, all kinds of shit.
Yep.
And it affects their world, obviously, also. And so there's all those UFOs that have gone over the nuclear weapons and you know, dismantled them.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that there is a, I think that's why there's an existential crisis, because I'm like, what is it? Nothing really matters. Like, you can almost laugh about it sometimes, because it's like, there, it's so much more grand than this. It's, the universe is so much bigger than all these stupid problems that we created.
Do you ever think that if the aliens really had our back, they would have flown over the season finale for Game of Thrones, and they would have stolen the footage?
No, because they are probably pissed at us for what we've done with the nuclear stuff. And they're like, what? This is a little bit of retribution.
That's true.
A little bit of karmic justice.
They could have done it.
For those fucking humans.
Yeah, they could have done it.
Let them cry.
Yeah.
Let them cry.
And we did.
And you know what? We're too forgiving, because this new Game of Thrones series, everyone's in love with it. And they're like,
getting tricked again.
I got hurt once. And, you know, when I get hurt,
now it's on you.
You don't exist in my life
exactly.
anymore.
Okay? Now it's on you guys who are watching this new Game of Thrones. It's on you.
You didn't set healthy boundaries. Yep. And if you get wrecked,
it's on you.
It's on you.
This time it's on you. And you need to fucking own it.
They're love bombing you right now.
Yep.
But
they're drawing you in. It's a honeypot. They're drawing you guys in. And guess what's going to happen again?
Not a sucker.
They're going to get you again. They're going to get you so good. They're going to get you in love with all these characters. They're going to kill them all slowly, one by one. You'll have one that you're at least holding out for. You're like, oh, that's my lead dog. And then at the end, at the very fucking end, they'll take that away from you too.
You know, I don't even mind my favorite characters getting killed as long as it's a fucking interesting story. But the way they killed some of the characters was not even, didn't even make sense to all the buildup they did. It just didn't make sense.
Didn't make sense.
I hate when things don't make sense.
If alien races are going to have our fucking backs and shut down all our nukes and stuff, at least they could start shutting down some real shit that's affecting our daily lives, too.
Like the Game of Thrones?
Like the Game of Thrones series finale. Just fly over where they shot that shit, because they always, like, you know, they have to hoard footage afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Just steal the footage. Just fucking blank all the tapes. Make them back to the drawing board. Nah. That would have been the biggest fucking hookup for our civilization I can think of in the last decade.
No, we're not... They would spoil us. Like, I think we have to learn our lessons.
That's true.
How we ever learn our lessons if we just get the perfect pieces of art?
And that's
all the
why
time.
Me and Nikki are not watching the current Game of Thrones, because we learned our lesson.
Because we are not falling into traps again.
Not again, unless HBO pays us to say check
that
out.
We are watching.
Check out the new Game of Thrones.
Check it
not.
Out, but we haven't been paid yet.
So
we will let you know.
That's right.
And we will buy many Gucci bags with what we
God,
pay.
Oh my God, so many.
That's all we've been looking forward to,
we
to be honest.
We have them in our carts already, but we haven't checked out.
What material items do you still find yourself attached to?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Obviously, my Colts jerseys. I've been enjoying, I enjoy sports.
Yeah. Well, is there like a thing that you're like, ooh, I can't wait till I can afford to buy this? You can buy jerseys.
Yeah, there's not really.
Okay.
Oh, my Batmobile probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm not really a car person, but I think a Jeep would be sick. And that's
Jeep
not even that
sick.
Expensive, but I just...
You want a yellow Jeep, right?
A yellow Jeep or a purple one.
Yeah.
I just think it's pretty sick, and it could go off-roading, and I think that's why, though. It's more of the adventure part of, like, getting to do different experiences that I can't do on my Honda Civic.
Batmobile can go off-roading.
Yeah.
I'd get the Keaton Mobile.
Yeah, I just don't like all that attention. It's definitely getting broken into.
They're not going to get anything. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, but I don't want...
People aren't going to break into it to do anything other than take pictures.
You know who... How expensive it would be to repair something as custom as a Batmobile. I just don't want to deal with the broken windows.
I understand. That's true.
No one's going to break into my Jeep.
That's true. Well, Jeeps are already open.
You know what I do is I leave Taco Bell on the seat.
Cinnamon twists.
No, I leave bags of Taco Bell on the seat so people know, oh, she's not doing well.
She's not doing so good.
I don't think I need to break into this car.
That's true. Unless they want some cinnamon twists, because they're in there every time.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
I eat those.
You eat most of them.
Sometimes there's a weird chemical taste on them.
Yeah, see?
And I go, not tonight.
Yeah, sus. All right, that's all the show we got for you today.
Hope you were enlightened by this. I hope you are doing well during your existential crisis. I hope it's not a sad one, but maybe one that inspires you to look within and be like, what can I contribute during this really baby time of a
try to zoom out, but not too much. Don't zoom out too much. It'll freak you out. So zoom back in if you start to zoom out too much where it freaks you out. All right, that's all the show we got. Please, if you want to support the show, check us out on Patreon.
Or get so freaked out that you go through the other side.
Patreon.com/sticky.
You're no longer freaked out anymore.
/sticky.
S-T-I-K-K-I. Okay.
Yes, we have a lot of fun on there. We do weekly poker game, or like we do poker game every month. We do
a free world poker tournament.
Free world poker tournament. We do a live stream every month called the Sticky Live Stream. We also, I do Crypto Corner every single Tuesday night. It's a blast. We have a great time.
And we do early releases of these episodes. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can ask us to
our killer Discord community.
Also, right. If you have a question you would like to ask, we do Q&A videos every now and then, and you can submit those questions to podcast@nikki.limo. You can ask us anything. Like literally anything.
Anything you want.
I'm not going to guarantee I read it if it's something like weird, but and
yeah,
mean.
If it's super weird.
Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.